Okay, first 2 weeks, discuss Rosh Hashanah. Last week, discuss Yom Kippur. Because the importance of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, sometimes, certainly in yeshivas where you stop Yom Kippur, Sukkot gets a little put on the back burner. So decided this week and next week to discuss certain yonim of what Sukkot is, why Sukkot is. Sukkot is a complex chag. Torah describes it chag osif. It means Pesach, Shavuos, Chag HaKotzer. And Sukkot is the end of the year, you take the harvest in and prepare for the winter. That's the end of the financial year. Look at your bank account. End of the year. In many different aspects. Chag HaOsef. That's one aspect of Sukkot. There's Mitzvah Sukkot. There is the mitzvah of Dalad Minim. It combines the Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah. And it also combines coming after Yom Kippur. Chazal say Yom Rishon L'Cheshbon Averus. The year begins for a few days after Yom Kippur, in the afterglow of Yom Kippur, and then the year begins. Chazal tell us, Pasuk says, but Chazal took it much further, that at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni and Bayis Rishon, Anshei Knesset HaGdola had a difficult situation. They knew it was 70 years of Golos. Klal Yisrael had gone into Golos because of Avodah Zarah. They're going to come back. They're going to have the same problem of Avodah Zarah all over again. And we'll have a Churban Beis HaMikdash again. So, what are you building Beis HaMikdash? It's going to be destroyed again. So, they davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to shech the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. There's a Yetzer of Avodah Zarah and Teshecht, so we don't understand it anymore. Mora talks about Menashe. The big Oved Avodah Zarah. But there's also a big Talmud Chacham, so one of the Amoraim criticized him, and he said, if you've been alive at that time, I walk towards the Avodah Zarah. You pick up your cloak and run towards. You don't understand what it meant, the Yetzer Hara Avodah Zarah. Chazal tell us that Yetzer Hara Avodah Zarah was shechted on Sukkot. Vosid Lovo. After we say on Sukkot, when the entire world accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu and recognize the Sheker Avodah Zarah. So then, all the Umos Holim will come on Sukkot to the Samigdash to be Kabul Chum and Sol Machul Sechem. Other aspects of Sukkot. Sukkot has some Chistorah. Why does Sukkot have some Chistorah? Because Yom Kippur is a dual holiday. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Elul. Going up in Rosh Chodesh Elul, it was the 40 days with HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave Klal Yisrael, the Yemei Rachma. Moshe Rabbeinu came down on Yom Kippur, Vayoma Hashem Solachti Kivarecha. Yom Slichu Mechilu L'Doros. But something else happened. Moshe Rabbeinu went up the first time to accept the Torah, and he came down and he broke the luchos. The luchos are luchos habris. He broke the bris. He went up a second time to Mispaul. A third time he went up to get the Torah all over again. He came down with the Torah on Yom Kippur. That's the day we received the Torah that we have. More than that, Beis Halevi has many rayas. But not, he just didn't bring down the same Torah. Klal Yisrael at the time of Luchos Rishonos and Shavuos raised with very, very high matreka. One notch underneath Moshe Rabbeinu. The Chet HaEgel, they came crashing down. And even though they did Shuvah, it was Kapara, but they never got back to that madrega. It was a madrega of Adam Rish before the Chet. At that madrega, getting Torah Shabbat Sav, you were able to see and understand from within Torah Shabbat Sav all of Torah Shabbat. But as the madrega went down, so what did they see? What they had to get Torah Shabbat Sav and Torah Shabbat Peh. Because they were not on the madrega to be able to see the entire Shabbat Peh from within Torah Shabbat Sav. So that the Moshe Rabbeinu came down the second time, the Torah in the format that we have it today with Torah Shabbat Sav and Torah Shabbat Peh, we received on Yom Kippur. And we postponed that Simcha to Simcha's Torah. But it goes even deeper than that. The Medrash says, V'cholus Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on Sukkah Shechted the Eitz Hor Avodah Zarah. Now it's the time to build the Beis HaMikdash. Now Shechted the Kol Kam Tov HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we're not doing anything until you reveal to us all the secrets of Torah Shabbat Peh. Because in Bayis Rishon we're able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Hashemah Sashchina and all the Ruach HaKodesh and Nevi'im, his presence was felt much more in this world. By Yesheni, there's no Ruach HaKodesh, there's no Nevuah, there's no Urim V'Tumim. And how are we going to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Only through Torah Shabbat Peh. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to them all the secrets of Torah Shabbat Peh, and that's why in By Yesheni there's a tremendous explosion of Limud Torah Shabbat Peh. And when did that happen? Sukkot. Sukkah's Torah Shabbat Peh, Sukkah's the mitzvah of Sukkah. And Ram says something very interesting in Mor Nevuchim. He says there are two separate mitzvahs on Sukkah. The mitzvah of the Sukkah, which is to remember the time of the Midbar. And then there's the mitzvah of Dalet Minim, that's to remember the gift of Eretz Yisrael. So, it's a gift of Eretz Yisrael that we remember. Remember the Midbar, it's Chag HaOsif, it's Kaparas Avonos, it's the follow-up to Kaparas Avonos, the death of Avodah Zarah, and the gift of Torah Shabbat Peh. All that comes together. So we have to understand, is there a Tzad HaShover? A lot of different things happening together. Stop and think about it. There is tremendous gift here. Tremendous unifying idea. Maybe we begin with Avodah Zarah, Midbar, and Eretz Yisrael. There are two different ways people forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's running the world. One is the idea, the old idea of Avodah Zarah, that there are many forces in this world, the forces of the sun and the moon and the winds and tides and who knows what. All the different forces that are worshipped And these work independently. They have to be dealt with independently. Forgetting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running everything hands-on. Though they're not independent forces. They're just tools in his hands. That's one way of looking at the world. Then there's another way of looking at the world. And that is what the Greeks, what Aristotle introduced. Plato and Aristotle introduced the world runs as an automatic machine. Much of that's today's view of the world. Any rules to science is how the world runs. It's just an automatic machine, a perpetual motion machine. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in a very oblique, distant way. Almost as even believing what they believe. It's like you have a machine that's running, an automatic machine, but you sort of plug it into an outlet to get all the current, and then it just keeps running by itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us in Parshas Ekev, why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't take place like Mitzrayim and had to put Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael is Mesugul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eretz Yisrael is Mesugul to Avodah Zarah, and they both come together. And not like Eretz Mitzrayim. In Eretz Mitzrayim, there's never rain. There are two things. If there are crops and things grow, no desolation, there's the sun and the Nile River. Where's the water in the Nile come from? All the rain that rains in Central Africa drains out of Africa through the Nile. They don't see the rain. They say the water's always coming. The water's always coming. The water's always coming. And the sun's always there. So they did worship. And they did worship the sun. They worshiped the Nile. But that's it. They weren't dependent on a lot of other things. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be a son of land. Lo keretz Yisrael. But, Teretz Yisrael, where for our water we depend on the rain. In the rain, we say twice a day, three times a day, that Vohim Shmo Tishmo Mitzvot Sai, then Mesatim Tarat Zambitam, Rav Malka, Shampen Yiftel Avach, Mesatim Vatim, Vohim Achim Mishtach, Vohatsar is Hashemayim Vohim Motor. Motor is something, even Arayom, Chazal tell us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world that works seemingly in response to natural law. But there's one thing, there are three things that are in the hands directly of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of them is rain. A human being will never be able to feel that he controls rain in any real way. And he wanted us to be nervous of realizing our dependence on him. Or one could have sidetracked that, put our dependence on the God of rain, and the God of this, and the God of that, the God of this, the God of that. It's a changeable climate, and can go sometimes sun, sometimes snow, sometimes sun, sometimes cold, sometimes rain, sometimes snow, and sometimes scorching heat, and yes, rain and no rain. And to understand that there are certain aspects of it that a human being will never be able to understand. He's going to have to admit it's not under his control. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to put us in such a land. And the gift of that land is Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a gift. Here, in the current mentality, he gave it as a gift. 3,500 years ago. It's a one-time gift for belong stops. Eino chanami. But as and the United States ambassador to Israel made his declaration, the United Nations didn't give the land to the Jewish people. God gave the land to the Jewish people. But God also said, I can give it, I can take it away, and that's what Golus is about. So, Where does it all come together? Comes together is amazing Medrash. Medrash says that based on Pesukim of Daniel, Daniel describes the situation that there'll be an Ayel Menageach, a wild ram that's going to go crashing through everything and nothing can stand in its way, and it's going to go take over the world and die at some point very abruptly. That's Alexander. So if Alexander, there were before Alexander the Greek-Persian wars, and they were an important part of ancient history. And then came Alexander and took over the world, spread Greek culture. What was Greek culture? Greek culture, the way Alexander was Hatalmid Hamuvik of Aristotle, with Hatalmid Hamuvik of Plato, the Talmud Hamuvik of Socrates. Now, the early Greek philosophers got a lot of their chokhmah from the Nevi'im, from Yirmiyahu, and specifically from Baruch ben Neriah. But then they twisted it in their way. But Kadosh Baruch Hu, why did Kadosh Baruch Hu set it up that Aristotle's Talmud Mufik should conquer the world and die abruptly in India? Very simple reason. It was a time the Yetzer Hara v'Avodah Zarah had been killed. Goyim still were keeping it because Ma'aseh HaSeim b'Yadayim, they just kept what they were doing. But that drive and that push was gone. And then Kadosh Baruch Hu brought a force that would destroy the Avodah Zarah, the world. That was Alexander, bringing Greek philosophy. And here was an assignment for Klal Yisrael, that if they would stay strong and not be pulled in by Greek culture, stay strong with the purity of Torah, so then when Avodah Zarah was destroyed, people would look at Klal Yisrael, they would accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu and understand the Torah and Mashiach could come. So what went wrong? Wrong is Klal Yisrael got too enamored of Greek culture. So what did Greek culture substitute? The world's an automatic machine. Today, that idea of Greek culture, of Aristotle. Aristotle viewed the world as an automatic machine, perpetual motion machine that went infinitely back in time, infinitely forward, nothing changes, everything's stable. How long has planet Earth been functioning the way it is? For infinitely back. How long will it function? Infinitely forward. Why? Because it's just automatic. The idea of automatic is the whole idea behind science today. The world's functioning automatically. So there are two different ways of denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu running this world in a hands-on way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Greek culture to finish off Avodah Zarah. And it's very interesting. If you look, where is the old Avodah Zarah still existent today? In India. That Alexander got to a certain place, destroyed it up to that place, and part of India is Muslim, and part of India is all the old Avodah Zarahs. And from there on, the idea of monotheism, etc., didn't spread. And the Rambam writes, beginning in Perkut Aleph, Hilchos Melachim, that if Klal Yisrael weren't up to it, you'll find a very interesting thing. Between 10 and 20% of the entire population of the Mediterranean areas of the Roman Empire. At the time of the rise of Christianity, believed in one God, looked up to Yiddishkeit, but found it difficult to make the jump to convert. Shabbos and Bris Milah. Those are the two impediments. And that's where, and Christianity first, and then Islam moved into that vacuum. Rambam writes, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu arrange history in such a way? That with the collapse of Avodah Zarah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created two bridge religions. That we would, the world would become familiar with the idea of Mashiach, Messiah, with one God, and Tanakh, Chumash, etc. And these are bridge religions. So, we look at ourselves at Chag Asif. Chag Asif, the end of the year, is a time of a lot of self-satisfaction. In times of agriculture, you brought the crop in. You had a wonderful year. And it's the end of the financial year, you look at your bank balance. Bank balance is great. And at that point, this Kochi Yotzin Yodi can take it. I had a successful year. I did very well. At that time, there's a danger. What's the danger? You stop seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the entire world in a hands-on way. You were successful this year. You had a good crop. Why? It rained. Why did it rain? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You had a good crop. You made a lot of good business deals. The economy's going crazy. You invested in all the right things. I'm smart. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. Remember the Midbar. What was the lesson of the Midbar? Lesson of the Midbar is a very simple lesson. You go out to the Midbar. If you've ever been in the Midbar, it's desolation and desolation and desolation. The blinding heat during the day, freezing cold at night, no water, all sorts of wild animals and vermin and snakes and who knows what, all over the place. And it's not a place that a single human being can survive. You have 3 million Jews, 600,000 adult males over the age of 20. You can't survive. How are you going to survive then? So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He enveloped them in an artificial environment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't need all the norms that I created elsewhere. I can create my own environment for you. And what is that? The Tiana covered. And in that I'm bringing mud, and that I'm bringing water, and everything. The Pasuk says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us mud to say that? Our food comes from him anyway, even later on. So we thank, we have to remember that. And what is it? For those 7-8 days, we woe out of the comfort and the protection of our home into the sukkah. Sela demnusa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you're in your hands, remembering what you did to us when, all the way back. We thank you for Eretz Yisrael. What's the thanks for Eretz Yisrael? Yisrael is a it's not an automatic gift, as people think it is. It's not just a place where you do a lot of things. It's a place that supposedly daily reminds us of our dependence on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu invested with Kedusha that we connect to him be more easily here than elsewhere if we want to use it to connect to him. Nothing happens automatically. And that's a gift. Not just a gift because we need a little piece of real estate where to feel comfortable. No. Could have left us in Mitzrayim and carved out a part of Mitzrayim. He could have put us down in Uganda like the early Zionists wanted to put us down in Uganda. He Just imagine what would have happened if they had done that. What would have happened today if we'd been down in Uganda? What we have with Palestinians would be nothing. It's a gift. So we have to look at ourselves and remind ourselves. And if a person doesn't understand that he's totally dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world, and it's completely not, there's nothing automatic on this world. Yes, I'm sick, I go to a doctor. Why? Some people think because that's where the solution lies. It's not where the solution lies. Solutions in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, except HaKadosh Baruch Hu works through different means according to different laws. So if in the morning I take certain medications, why do I take those medications in the morning? Because in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, I need those medications to function during the day. That's how it works. And if I need those, and that's completely how it works. Now, because of that, we're only going to realize that after Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, in 40 days, we're supposed to look at ourselves. Yom Kippur is supposed to be a cleansing process. Ki bayom hazeh yechapar aleichem letaher escha. It's kapara and tahara. For two cents. Kapara is we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to punish us. That's a technical thing. But every aveira leaves its impact on the human being. And that impact is somehow it soils on the Shema. If you take a look at the Rambam, the Chos Tshuva. Yes. It affects us as a person. So, Yom Kippur comes, it's the Tahereshman. We immerse ourselves in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we cleanse ourselves. We cleanse ourselves, and then begin to look at ourselves. Yes, I was very successful this year. This year, my bank account tripled. Wonderful. But after Yom Kippur, you begin to realize, this comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, I did the best deals possible in a Hanami. But where did it all come from, HaKadosh Baruch? And then we go out to the sukkah to remind us on our most basic needs. We're totally dependent on HaKadosh Baruch. It's called the Tzela Dehemnusa. The Tzela Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch. And we thank HaKadosh Baruch for the gift of Eretz Yisrael. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch. You invested this land with Kedusha and with a constant reminder. That constant reminder is we're dependent on it. We live in a very strange time. If you read all the Israeli newspapers, I hope you don't, but in case you do, this country's gone through a drought, a major drought, for 5 years. So they're going to solve it. They build all these desalination plants. But they make a judgment, how bad can it get? And every year, the end of every year, they say it doesn't work. So and a lot of frum Jews, instead of reminding themselves what they say at least twice a day, rain here is in direct proportion to the madrega of ruchnius of the people living here. Maybe all the Jews. Stomach's living here. No rain. What's that supposed to tell us? Do tshuva? Anyone learn himself to tainus? No. Lack of rain means tshuva. Tainus. But people don't want to see that. So we have to this and this. We have to understand it's global warming. It's the this. It's the stuff. it's the holes in the stratosphere caused by artificial gases, but then they realize that other things are happening, they can't figure out what it is. There's one thing people don't want to look at because it's very uncomfortable. Looking at that way is the idea of a avodah zarah, refusing to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world. And therefore, what happens? More and more and more. It all ties together, and the ideas behind Sukkos are to remind ourselves of all these things. Mirza Shembli Neda next week. I'll show how this all ties in with Avodah Zarah, it's Torah Shebaal Peh, Kabbalah.